Turn your Bibles, let's stand and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24, if you don't mind. Starting in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they have prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that they were greatly perplexed about this. The original language, the word for perplexed there means freaked out. They were freaked out about this. And then behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They were horrified. They said to these women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke these things to you when he was still in Galilee?" Father, bless our message here this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, you can have a seat. There's a couple of two great questions here. Number one, why are you looking for a live person in a cemetery? That's number one. You know, what are you looking for? This is a big question that all of us, really, I want to ask you this. It's really important that you think about this morning. What are you really looking for, and where are you looking for it? And then the next question these guys ask these ladies is, don't you remember what he said? Why are you looking for what you're looking for, where you're looking for it, and don't you remember what Jesus said to you about what you'd be looking for? Two very good questions. I'm paraphrasing them, of course. But what are you looking for? Really interesting to me. Lots of people are looking for life among dead things. They're looking for joy among greed, trying to find peace with more things, trying to find happiness in sinful living, trying to find maybe relaxation or relief from drugs or alcohol or partying. There are people everywhere looking for the living among the dead. There are people looking for life among dead things, aren't there? Amen? How many of you think that may be true? Nod your head. Okay. Every now and then I'm going to ask you to nod your head just to make sure, you know, you're alive. Asked a little girl a couple months ago, I said, "Do you know why we're so quiet in church? Why we're supposed to be so quiet in church?" And the girl said, "Oh, yes, because people are sleeping." Life isn't found in things, is it? Life isn't found in things. And by the way, your happiness is not going to be found in another human being on the earth. I hope you have that. I hope you understand that. You know, as much as we can love one another and have tremendous happiness and joy in loving one another, people don't provide us with our fulfillment. And when we go to a relationship or to relationships expecting people to fulfill us, there is tremendous disappointment. There is tremendous anger. And what ends up happening, you've heard me say this before if you've been to this church for any length of time, when you begin to have an expectation of the people around you, husband, wife, kids, friends, church members. What we do is we objectify people. They become things to us. They become either vehicles for me getting what I want or an obstacle keeping me from getting what I want. Sometimes your wife, if you're not careful, you'll see her as a vehicle of getting what you want or an obstacle keeping you from getting what you want. You will objectify people if we're looking for them to give us life. How many understand that this morning? See, that's a huge, huge mistake that people make. And Jesus asked this question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for what you're looking for, where you're looking for it? Turn to the person next to you and say that. Ask them. Say, why are you looking for what you're looking for, where you're looking for it? Now try it 5 times fast. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus said this at one point in his ministry, John chapter 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. See? In another place he says, why are you storing up treasures and things that rust and get corrupted, where the moths come in and eat at this, your good clothes? And why are you doing that? The thief comes to steal, kill, rob, destroy. But Jesus said this, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. See? Life isn't found in things. It's not found in places. It's not found in jobs. It's not found in careers. It's not found in all your earthly hopes. Life is found in a person, Jesus Christ. And the fundamental difference, the very fundamental difference between every other person and Jesus Christ is that he rose from the dead and lives evermore. So these guys, after the crucifixion, head out of Jerusalem, and that was an excellent newscast. The traffic guy pointed out that the traffic was terrible. And one other reason for the bad traffic is, what week was it for the Jew? Passover week. The traffic was horrible going in and out of Jerusalem. So these guys left, went another way in the same chapter in verse 24, beginning in verse 13. It says, two of them were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Imagine these guys walking. It's a long time to walk, 7 miles. How many of you have walked 7 miles lately? I walk a couple miles in a day. My Fitbit will go and tell me I have, like right now, 1.5 miles. See, when I'm at church, I like to get my steps in with my Fitbit. But you know, 7 miles is a long time to walk. That's quite a ways. It's a good distance. Some of you may be able to run 7 miles. God bless you. I get tired driving 7 miles, let alone run 7 miles. But these guys are going along their way, and they're talking with each other of all the things that happened. Verse 15, so it was when they conversed and reasoned that Jesus drew near and went with them. Now, I want to say 2 things about this. Number one, this is amazing that Christ took interest in these 2 guys. But this is how God is. In their confusion, they're leaving Jerusalem, and it says here while they're walking away, they're saying their eyes are restrained, they didn't know. And Christ said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you guys are having with you? What are you guys talking about that you're so sad? You're so sad. And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened in these days? Isn't that a funny thing to say to Jesus? Aren't you? Are you the only person who doesn't know what's going on around here? And Jesus could have said, listen, I'm the only person who really gets it around here. But they didn't know. Their eyes were restrained. You know what happens? Your perspective is so skewed when you're troubled. And they were incredibly troubled, but this is why they were troubled. And I want to talk about this for a couple of minutes, and then I'll let you go eat your ham or whatever you're eating. Does anybody eat lasagna anymore? Yeah, Jim. You know what? The Italian families... lasagna. Not what is Where does ham thing come from? Jews aren't, the Jews didn't do the ham thing, obviously, right? Early Christians, think early Christians, might as well have him. Peter, maybe, right? Anyway, good. Let me not, squirrel. I said rabbit. All right. And Jesus said, what things? Great question. And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus in Nazareth. You know, look at verse 21. It says, we were hoping. You know, he was here. We followed him, but we were kind of hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these things, it's the third day since these things happened. And what they were saying was, we thought he was going to deliver us from this Roman tyranny. We thought he was going to come, and they had a particular expectation. And disappointment has its root in expectations. Everybody know what I mean by that? The only time you're going to be disappointed is when you've had an expectation in something. If you have no expectations, you'll never be disappointed. Right? I don't expect the sun to rise this morning. Hey, the sun's up. Man, it's great. The sun rose. Or if you expect, I expect it's going to be a sunny day today, and you get up and you live in central New York, you're going to be incredibly disappointed all the time. You know. But I have expectations, and they expected something from Christ. And this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope that can't be obtained or misplaced, misguided expectations will lead to profound heart problems. In other words, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Putting your expectations in the wrong thing, you're going to be one sorry fella or lady. So I think what we want to talk about a little bit here before we close is, what can we expect from God? Well, Hebrews 13:5 says we can expect that He'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, I was thinking of it like this last night as I was reading this. I can expect that I will never, ever again be completely alone. That's what it means when it says, He'll never leave me or forsake you. You know what? You may not get everything you want from God. And probably the reason for that is if you got everything you want, it would probably destroy you. Don't you think so? If you got everybody, okay, let me ask you a question. Please don't raise your hands. How many of you are glad you didn't get the spouse you first wanted? Don't raise your hand. Don't do it. You know what? You probably will. Remember that, Mom. You'll be able to bring that up to them. You know? Some of you got the first spouse you wanted, and you're very happy with that. You are very, very blessed, very fortunate. I know there's couples here that married the first person that they ever were interested in. Great. Good for you. There are others that are glad they didn't get who they were first interested in. They'd either be dead or in prison if that was the case. For some reason, I thought that would be funnier than it actually is. It's the delivery. Here's the second thing I can expect from God. He'll always meet my real needs. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He'll always meet your real need. So the first thing, you'll never be completely alone. Secondly, He'll always meet your real needs. Thirdly, Philippians 1:6 says He'll complete what He started in you. You can expect that from God. You know what else we can expect? That we're going to have trials, we may have some persecution, and there's going to be some suffering. We should expect that. Why? Because in 1 Peter 4:12 to 13, and some other verses that were mentioned in Sunday school this morning, that's what we ought to expect. But see, the problem is we don't expect that stuff. We don't expect to get sick. We don't expect to lose a job. We don't expect a car to break down. This is the funniest thing to me. I didn't expect my car to break down. You didn't? Did you buy a car? Yes. Have you driven by the number of repair shops? You see those? Some of them do very, very well. Why? Because cars break. I didn't expect my water heater to die. You didn't? Wow. You need to get with somebody to talk about planning a budget, maybe, or home, what to expect owning a home. You know, Boy, if only I owned my own house and stopped renting, I'd be so happy. It's good to own a home. It's great if you can do it. I've told the young kids the three pieces of advice. Own real estate, right? But honestly, there are some things you need to expect when you own a home, right? Well, yesterday, we have guests coming over. I have a beautiful window by my dining room. It was given to us. Put it in. It's just a gorgeous, beautiful window. Get a nice view of our patio. You can see the woods from there. It's just beautiful. I love it. So, it's one of those things you can pull the bottom pane up and push the little levers and pull it out and clean the inside and the outside. How many of you have those? Right? And then you pull the bottom one down and you clean the inside and the out one of that. So I'm like just cleaning the windows. I'm happy as can be because I love clean windows. Nothing drives me crazier than dirt all over the windows. So clean the bottom window, pull the top one up. I just open it up very gently and the thing fell out right on top of the other window, broke the window. See how you feel? You didn't expect that to happen, did you? Now I do expect that to happen. Why? Because I'm a homeowner. So, of course, I had to take that window and put it over in the other opening because they don't look out that one as much. And it's the outside pane, and it's a double pane window, but now I've got another pane, and I'm going to have to find where to replace that particularly. But see, what are the expectations? You know, we can get all shook about things like that, as my boys say. Don't get shook. You can get all shaken about stuff like that, or you can realize, you know, this is life. Life happens, right? What's the expectation? What are our expectations? Here's another thing we can expect from God. Psalm 23 says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I can expect that from God, right? Can you expect that from God? How many of you expect that from God? I can expect that from God. That means when I live my life, every time I look back over my shoulder, you know what's following me? Goodness and mercy. It's always following me. Another thing I can expect from God is that he's going to work to conform me to his image in Romans 8:29. It's going to be difficulty. It's going to be some challenges that cause me to really rethink what I'm doing and where I'm going and what I'm looking for. He's going to change me from the inside out. We can expect that from God. But you know what else we can expect from God? In Romans 8:39, and nothing will ever separate me from his love. I can count on that and expect that from God. You know what else we can expect from God? In Psalm 25, verse 9, that if we're humble, he'll teach us. The meek will he teach. You want to learn? Humble yourself. You want to learn? Humble yourself. Be humble. God will teach you. You'll learn. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? Sometimes we face situations where we're not sure what to do. Two things we ought to do in that situation. James, the Bible says we ought to pray for wisdom. But the second thing, we ought to make sure that we're being taught something, that we're learning something. The more you learn from the Word of God, the more you'll know what to do in certain situations. That's what wisdom is. We gain that by learning, right? Wisdom isn't given by some magic wand where God taps you on the head, boom, boom, look how wise you are all of a sudden. No, wisdom is gained through discipline and learning, being taught, being humble. Isaiah 54, verse 17 says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I can expect that God will deliver me from Satan's plots. From the devil's attempts to trip me up, God will give me a plan to deliver me. I can expect that. I can expect that he'll make a way of escape, as it said in Romans, in 1 Corinthians. I can expect that he's going to keep me with his power in 1 Peter 1:5, that I'll never be taken out of his hands. I can expect that. I can also expect this in Hebrews chapter 12, that when I get stupid and I get rebellious and I fight God, he's going to spank me. I'm going to be disciplined by God. You can expect that this morning. Amen? How many of you had that happen? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the woodshed. Yeah, you guys are going to get it big time today, I'll tell you that. Wait till you get home. Your mother's going to eat all your chocolate. She says, all those chocolate that you got from wherever you got it, she's going to eat it. Micah verse chapter 7, verse 8 says, don't rejoice over me, my enemies. If I fall, I'll be getting up again. we can expect that God will help us get back up when we fall. And another thing, and the last thing I'll say about what we can expect, is when I draw my final breath, I can expect this, that I'm going to be resurrected just like Jesus Christ was. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then He will also quicken your mortal body. See, I can expect that. And I expect it. Now, you know what else? I love what Menzel said earlier. Can expect to see his son. Can expect to see his mother. I expect to see my sister by the grace of God. I know I'll see Pastor Tim. I'll see Pastor Wood. I might avoid him, but I'll see Pastor Wood. No, I'm just kidding. I love him. Give Leah a hug. Hi, Richard. See people in heaven, you know. You're so excited about things like that. You know, Kathy Lewis. I'm sure Dr. Lewis is thinking about Kathy today. Different people like that. I can't wait to see my mother-in-law again. And, you know, it's just so exciting to think about. We can have that kind of expectation. And that's not going to, we're not going to be disappointed with that. Because we can expect that, absolutely. Why can I expect that? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He promised us He'd rise from the dead. He said it 10 times. That those two guys in the garden asked those ladies, don't you remember that He told you this? Like He told you 10 times? And it's about 10 times He said it. He's used Noah as an example. He said the temple is an example. Then He came right out and said, they're going to kill me and I'm going to rise from the dead. That's what's going to happen. And then they killed Him and He said, oh, I guess it's over. Wait! This guy's raising people from the dead. He rose Lazarus from the dead just a couple weeks earlier, right? Have you forgotten what He said? So those are the two questions. Why are you looking for what you're looking for, where you're looking for it? That's the first one. And the second one is, don't you remember what He said? And because He said He would rise from the dead and rose from the dead, I have full faith and full trust that everything He said, therefore, is true. Right? And I can expect all these things. And in the midst of all that, in the book of Job, and we heard that song this morning, it's been on my mind, I asked Tim to play it because of this passage. Job chapter 19. Job starts to catalog what's going wrong. And this guy Bildad, he's got three friends that basically came and accused him of every wrongdoing. And they're beating up on him verbally pretty bad. Do you know what happened to Job? How many know the story of Job? Raise your hand if you've heard of Job. This poor guy, Job had this stuff happen to him, lost his family, his wife turned on him, kids were killed, lost all of his stuff. I mean, just an amazing trial. And then the physical, ended up having boils all over his body. I mean, what a wreck, right? Then his three friends come and they try to tell him why what's happening to him. Is happening to him. Let me explain to you why you're having difficulty. You must have done something wrong that God is now mad at you, you know? So he's going through this, and Job begins to say things like, God has stripped me of my glory, verse 9. He's broken down every side of my life, verse 10. He's kindled His wrath against me, verse 11. He's removed my brothers far from me, verse 13, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. All my friends are gone. My relatives have failed. My close friends have forgotten me, verse 14. You ever get to this point? Huh? Yeah. Close friends forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maid servants count me as a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight, verse 15. I call my servant, no one gives an answer. Verse 17. Some of you could relate this. My breath is offensive to my wife. Try a mint. You think that the King James says, thy breath is corrupt, right? Strange? My breath is strange. That's a great Bible verse. Someone should come up with a candy and use that as a Bible verse for it. Then he says, my close friends abhor me, verse 19. Those who I love have turned against me. My bones cling to my skin and my flesh. And then he kind of goes on, and all of a sudden he says, oh, verse 23, that my words were written, these words were written, that they were engraved in a rock, written in an iron pen. I know my Redeemer lives. Even though all this stuff is going on, all of a sudden he has this revelation. And I believe this is absolutely what happened. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. And then something triggered this thought to him. I know my Redeemer lives. See, a lot of times we want someone to solve our problem. Solve Job's problem. Job, take these vitamins. Your sores will go away, you know. Or Job, here's new family or whatever. Here's some new buildings. Maybe he just needs some money. Let's help him out. Let's get him a new chariot, you know. Let's fix his water heater, whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, we realize even if those things are done, we still have other problems that are going to happen. But here's the God just brings a solution to him. I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, in verse 26. Behold, I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. How you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword for yourselves. The wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment. And all of a sudden he has this fear of God again. It's just an amazing passage. You know, right in the middle of your difficulty, when all those things are going on, don't forget what you can really expect from God. And the first thing you can expect from God is that in your, you will see him in your flesh. You know, that you will rise with him, along with the other things that you can expect from God. Amen? All right, so let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you for this day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That stone rolled away in an empty tomb. Three Greek words describe that stone. One says the stone was rolled out of the way. Another Greek word says it was rolled uphill. And then another Greek word adds a great distance. So it wasn't just nudged out of the way. This stone was removed from the face of that tomb. And that's the way God removes the obstacles from our life when we begin to grow and we begin to learn. And even though there are difficulties that we face, Lord, we know we have an expectation of you. And we can expect you to help us to grow and build in us a faith and a hope. We can expect that you'll teach us and you'll deliver us from the devil's obstacles and traps. We can also expect that you'll correct us when we are wrong and that you'll get us back up when we fail. Really, the great hope of the Christian life is that when we draw our final breath, death will have no sting, and that we'll rise just as you did unto eternal life. That's our great hope. That's your promise to us. And if you kept that promise of rising from the dead, you'll keep the rest of these promises too. We know. We can absolutely be sure. And you know what else we can expect? We can expect to meet you in the air. Then we can expect that you'll come again on this earth. You said you'd come. We believe it. You said you'd do these things. We're all in. We believe you because you are a faithful, true God. So bless our day today, Lord, with our families as we're celebrating eternal life. It's not just about food and just hanging out, but really it's just about knowing the reality of what God did here for mankind. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you one more opportunity today. Just say this little prayer in your heart. Lord, come into my life to live. I believe these things. I've seen it on the news today. I believe these things. I believe your word to be true, and I'm trusting you as my Savior. That's your prayer today. I want you to put your hand up in the air. Anybody? Just raise your hand. That's your prayer today. Lord, come into my life to live. Anybody here at all? Is there one person? Is today the day? There's one person. Is there another? Why not? Just do it. What are you waiting for? Lord, come into my life to live. Is there anybody? Okay. Thank you again, Lord, for this time. Keep us safe on the roads today. Minister to us and our families through us. In Jesus' name, amen.